All right, praise the Lord. I'm going to do something a little different this evening. I'm going to do what's called plagiarism. In other words, I'm going to use somebody else's message. I added a little bit of my own personal things in there, but I got a message a couple of weeks ago from Pastor Gary Hamrick. He's in Cornerstone. It's a Calvary Chapel back in Leesburg, Virginia. And I got this video of him off of the YouTube. It was sent to me off of YouTube. And I listened to it, and I thought it was so appropriate for the things that we are living in and the times we're living in. And because in light of the recent cultural chaos and the corporate controversies that are going on, I think it's time to address some of these things head on through a biblical lens, through a teaching that Pastor Gary Hamrick did titled A Biblical Response to the Transing of America. And so that's what we're going to be looking into tonight and looking at this. C.S. Lewis once said, when the whole world is running towards the cliff, anyone who is running the opposite way appears to have lost his mind. And so the world thinks that we're crazy as Christians. They think we're crazy because we don't embrace the things that are going on in the culture right now. So we become the crazy ones. Not only are we running away from the cliff, but we're trying to bring many that are headed toward the cliff with us away from the cliff. So the word trans in Latin means over, beyond, or across. Like a transatlantic flight goes across the Atlantic Ocean. But today the word trans has become a very loaded word in the world that we live in today. So tonight I want to take a look at how America has crossed over. How America has crossed over, and it's not just crossing over, I believe they've crossed over in many ways. We have gone beyond what we once were to what we are now. Where we are now is in the midst of a cultural chaos. Today we are full of gender confusion, sexual perversion, and this so-called woke agenda. I need to make it clear that this is not in any way to be a message of hatred or of harm. We don't hate anyone, and we certainly don't want anyone to be harmed. That's not our heart. That's not my heart in bringing this message forward. So please don't interpret anything that is said tonight to be intended that I desire anyone at all to be hurt or harmed in any way. This is simply a message to give a biblical response to the madness of the culture with a heart to rescue those who have been swept up in the madness of this culture. Gary shares what happened at his ministry there in Virginia at Cornerstone. He shared that how one day this young man came in a spaghetti dress and all makeup on and came down and sat in the second row. And so they greeted him and they talked to him and he taught the service. And then afterwards they greeted him, they treated him, you know, respectfully and everything. And the gentleman kept coming back for 2 or 3 weeks. So finally he had a meeting with his pastors and they said, okay, what do we do with this situation? And they decide, okay, we need to pull him aside and we let him know that he can come and hear the word because Jesus loves him and he, just like any other sinner, he needs to be saved. But they said there was one regulation, there was one rule that they laid down. He could not go into the ladies' restroom because they believed in protecting their women and their young girls. So he came for a couple of more weeks, and then he was being obedient to that, and then one day he started heading toward the ladies' restroom. So one of their security people, he said it was about 6'5" and weighed 300 pounds, kind of blocked his way and wouldn't let him go in. And so at that point, he never came back. And then, you know, as I heard him share that, I thought about, it's been a year or two ago, maybe 2 years ago, we had three ladies come in, an elderly lady and two younger ladies, and the younger lady introduced the other lady as her wife. And so we just, you know, greeted them. They came in and they sat in the back, and one of them's, the older lady was one of them's grandmother. And so they came and, you know, I just taught regular and everything, and everybody here greeted them like we greet everybody. The next week they came back and everybody greeted them, and I think Lois seen them one day over at Walmart in the middle of that. They came back the third week, and we were still just teaching verse by verse. I didn't change my teachings in any way. I didn't go to an area of Scripture that dealt with homosexuality or nothing. But I just kept teaching the Word. And so a lot of the people here started asking me, well, what do we do about this couple? What do you think? And I said, well, two things are going to happen. They're going to keep coming and hear the truth, and they'll repent and get saved, or they're going to just leave. And so eventually after 3 or 4 weeks, they left as well. And so, but you know, you can't keep people out. You've got to welcome them like any of all of us, because, you know, transgenderism or homosexuality isn't any different than any other sin. See, people don't show up to church all cleaned up. People show up to church all messed up. They come all messed up. It's our job to introduce them to the Good Shepherd Jesus, not to say to them, you have to leave. So I think that's why this is an important message for us, because you never know who's going to walk in these doors, whether it's on a Sunday or on a Wednesday, or no matter when that time may be, that we may be confronted with this. And so we need to understand how to approach them and how to treat them, and realize that they just need to know Jesus. They need to know Jesus like everyone else. Because I don't think we must never lose our mission of the church, which is to bring people to Jesus because of the madness of the world. We don't want to allow the madness of this culture to take place to where we put a wall up against anyone that would come in and need to hear the truth. We need to be outraged. We need to be outraged over the cultural chaos. But that outrage needs to be directed towards Satan. Because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the powers and the rulers of this dark age. Our outrage should never blind us to the hurting and the deceived people that are all around us, no matter who they are. You will not be able to help them find Jesus if you're so angry. If you're so caught up in the bitterness and the angerness of what's going on in the world, you'll never be able to bring them to Jesus. But I don't believe you'll either be able to bring them or help them to find Jesus if you're too affirming, and which a lot, unfortunately, churches around the country are becoming. If you are affirming the delusion, if you're condoning the lies, you will never help them understand the truth. They'll never understand the truth if you just affirm who they are and what they are and just kind of accept everything and call them she's or, you know, anything. No, just call them by name. You don't have to call them a she or he or whatever. Just call them by their name. You don't have to compromise and call a biological male a woman or a her or a she. We must hold the line on truth. We have to hold the line on the truth of the Word. And as Peter said in 1 Peter, we must always be prepared to give an answer for the hope that is within us, and yet with gentleness and perseverance. So to offer the right cure for the problems and the chaos in our world, we must first have the right diagnosis. And here's what's happening. Here's what's happening in corporate America and what is happening in girls' sports, what's happening on college campuses and in our public school system as it relates to gender confusion and the sexual perversion and the woke agenda. It's complete and utter madness. It's utter madness. Target is selling women's bathing suits with tuck-friendly in them. Do we really need this? No, it's utter madness. Target has partnered with a clothing line called Alfred Lynn. It's a London-based company that is actually headed up by a transgender Satanist named Eric Cromwell. All of this comes from a guy who is a self-identified Satanist. That's where it starts out. Here's what he posted last year on his company's Instagram. He said, being called a demon is something I can cope with, and the idea of a trans demon is pretty blank cool. Most of my work focus is on gothic or dark and satanic imagery juxtaposed with bright colors and LGBT positive messages. That's madness. That's madness. That's where who started this clothing line that this you're finding Target. When Disney has a guy with a mustache and a princess dress on welcoming little girls into the enchanted chamber, that's madness. Total madness. When approved reading material in a school system is so pornographic that even the parents, when they went to the school board meeting to read excerpts from these books, are told to stop because it's inappropriate. And yet it was appropriate to be into our grade school's libraries. That's madness. When biological men and boys are allowed to compete in women's sports and rob them of their victories, and are allowed to use their bathrooms and their locker rooms, that's madness. I heard a story on the news yesterday about a 16-year-old girl in Illinois. She was on a swim team at YMCA. She got out of the pool and she went into the girls' locker room, and there was a man standing there naked and waiting for her to take off her clothes. She went and told the authorities at the YMCA, and they said, we just can't do anything about it. There's nothing we can do about it. So she put up some signs. Girls' locker room is for women only, biological women only. So they called her up for it and said, you're bringing forth hate speech. And she said, no, I'm just trying to keep the locker room where I feel easy to go in. And so they reprimanded her and they took her off of the swim team and don't allow her to swim anymore. She was punished for this man that's probably a real pervert, just identifying as a female, to go into the women's locker room. That's madness. When churches are flying the rainbow flag and affirming sexual sin, that's madness. Some of these churches and the things they're doing, there's even a local church here that they're waiting for their lesbian pastor to come and take over. And one of their members was asked, well, how's the church going? And she said, well, we've had a lot of people leave. They just won't conform. You know, that it's amazing. That's madness. None of this should surprise us. None of it should surprise us. Because this is what happens when a nation will remove, replace, and reject the Lord. When a nation removes, replaces, or rejects God. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. I was supposed to tell you that in the beginning, but I got started without letting you know that. Romans chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. Now I'm going to read out of the NLT tonight. So some of the words are a little bit different than even some of the words I'll use in the rest of the teaching, but I really felt like the NLT says what needs to be said in a good way, in a clear way. It kind of clarifies the things that we need to really bring out and bring forth here as we look at this evening. So Romans 1:18 says, but God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. So when a nation removes, replaces, or rejects God, there's no excuse. They really aren't going to have an excuse for not knowing God, because he's given them everything clearly through the creation. Now look at verse 21. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they begin to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshiped and served the things of God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. Now verse 26 says, that is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relationships with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. As I think about the chaos in our culture today, and I think, you know, a lot of times we look at this and we think, it just seems like this just started and got out of hand so fast. Well, Paul was writing about it way back in Romans chapter 1. So like the Bible says, there's nothing new under the sun. You know, there's nothing new. Satan has the same old schemes and the same old tricks that he brings up from time to time. And so he's just bringing this one back up right now and allowing this chaos in our culture to be so where every commercial, every TV show has some of these things representative, even in the Disney movies. And I think even especially in the Disney movies these days that they have them. And so we find that when a nation removes, replaces, or rejects God, we find that he does some things here, some different things. First, we see that they become depraved. It's not okay, depraved or debased. Depraved or debased. There's some of those words are used in the New King James and some in the King James that are not used in the New Living Translation for what we just read about. But God gives them over to a depraved and debased mind. Madness sets in. Madness sets in. And all some of those things that I just talked about with Target and Disneyland and those other things, that's just the tip of the iceberg. No matter where you look, you see this madness. Verse 28 of Romans 1 again. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. These things should never be done, especially when you consider that what they're allowing these little children in elementary school to start to transition, and the percentages are showing that so many of them, after they get to a certain point, they want to go back. And so many of them are so sorry that they've made those choices because they weren't old enough to make those choices. And so many times in the schools, they're not even letting the parents know. So when a nation removes, replaces, or rejects God, he gives them over to depraved and debased minds. And then also, the other thing that happens then is he's allowed people to become deceived and delusional. They become deceived and delusional in so many ways. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 11 says, the coming of the lawlessness one, he's talking about the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness, deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. So this delusion has come along that so much of our culture has believed this lie. This lie that makes perfectly no sense whatsoever. And once that happens, Once that happens, a culture will be ready to receive this Antichrist that is being talked about here in Thessalonians, because they are already deceived and delusional. So when the Antichrist comes along with these big fancy words, they'll just fall right into line with it, because they've avoided the love of the truth. They've rejected the love of the truth in that way. And then the third thing that we see that happens here, when a nation removes, replaces, or rejects the Lord, the third thing is we see it unleashes the demonic. It unleashes the demonic. And this guy that started this clothing line, he's just proud to be this transgender Satanist. You know, 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times," and I believe we're in the latter of latter times, "in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." Doctrines of demons. We see this in the world, in the chaos that was going on in our culture today. All of this stuff about pronouns. You have to have the right pronouns. And do you realize that demons used pronouns in the Bible? That's where we see the demons using pronouns. In Mark chapter 5, when Jesus went out to deliver the man from a demon, it starts out, it says, the man came forth. And Jesus said, "What is wrong with you, or what do you wish?" And he, everything is singular until after Jesus says, "Who are you?" And the demon answers back, "We are legion, because we are many." So we see this pronouns being used by the demons even back in the New Testament. So from these verses that we just covered, we see that there's four D words. First one, of course, is depraved. When you see some of the things that are going on, it's just such depravity. You just have to shake your head and say, "How can it be? How can it be?" The next D word that we see there is deceived. Let's see if it comes up here that way. Yeah, there it is. Deceived. People are deceived. You know, you hear people make statements like men can have babies. I mean, what kind of, that's a total out deception. I mean, how can you be more deceived than that? It's craziness when you look at that that way. And then the third thing we see here is that they're delusional. Let me try to get that up here. That was really slow. Delusional. It's a delusion. They're depraved, they're deceived, they're delusional, and fourthly, they're demonic. They're totally demonic. It's a total demonic oppression and things that's going on in our world today. Dave's going to change it for me. So all these things, depraved, deceived, delusional, demonic, these are all inspired by another D word. Another D word, the devil. Change that for me, David. Yeah. So the devil is the one that's doing this. You know, like I said earlier, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against powers and principalities in the spiritual realm that we're fighting against. And so that's why when we're confronted with these individuals, we need to know that they need to know Jesus. They need to know the love of Christ in their lives. This is all Satan's attempt. It's all his attempt to pervert what God has designed and blessed. See, Satan is going after God's plans for this universe and for us and for humanity. He's going, first and foremost, he's going after God's design for biological sex. That's the first area he's trying to really destroy. He's trying to make everything gender neutral. Oh, you know, you don't have to. It's amazing how many forms you get these days, and they have male and female and other on them. It's like, you know, I just want to scratch out that other or write something in there. It's like, you know, I can't believe they can do that. It's just amazing. So he's going after God's design for biological sex. Next, we see that he's going after God's design for marriage between a man and a woman. That's his design, That's his original thing. A man and a woman. That's who. That's what marriage truthfully is. And Satan's going after that plan. He's going after that design. And the next thing that we see that he's doing, he's going after the children both inside and outside of the womb. He's trying to get to the children even before they're born. He's trying to get them in that way. It's just like the Hitler youth movement back in the 30s. The youth were indoctrinated and history was rewritten and distorted. They distorted biology. Just the same as going on today. The teachers even joined in with the indoctrination process, just as they are today through this teachers' union. That's an abomination to the Lord. So all of this madness, this chaos in our culture is going on, and it's a mess. It's a mess. We must not have this. But so as you think about some of the things I mentioned Target earlier, so why do we see corporations like Target willing to lose money just to continue this trans culture? Because as you hear, each one of these companies, whether it be Target or Budweiser, you know, they've lost millions. They've lost a ton of money through promoting this trans agenda and this woke agenda that they're promoting. So why are they willing? Why are they so willing to promote this agenda? Well, it's an intentional evil agenda. Again, it's satanic. It's totally satanic. The enemy is bringing all of this forth. So there's a couple of reasons why these corporations will stick with this trans woke agenda, even though they lose countless millions and maybe billions of dollars. They really don't care about it because there's a couple of things. See, they're willing to suffer short-term financial losses for long-term cultural gains. See, they want to please the culture, what that cultural chaos is telling them. It's been said that the woke revolution is following the same plan carried out by China under the leadership of Chairman Mao, when he ordered his citizens at that time to throw out four olds. They had to get rid of these four different olds. They had to get rid of old thinking. Didn't change. Yeah, okay, they had to get rid of old thinking. They had to get rid of old culture, which we're trying to do right now. Old customs and old habits. Those were the things that Chairman Mao said that the people had to just toss those things away. Don't even consider those any longer. See, and this taking place, they're trying to get rid of our true history in America today through this culture of chaos that we're experiencing. And for Mao, if anyone resisted, they would kill them. First, they would put a dunce cap on their hat, try to embarrass them. But if they still wouldn't go along with it, he would just have them killed. Millions died during these times. Millions. And see, we see some of this happening in our world today. The second thing that these corporations are more interested in is a high CEI score. They're more interested in that than they are with customer satisfaction. That's where they're interested in. So what is a CEI score? And why do they care so much about it? Well, to answer that, you always have to follow the money. If they're losing millions, there's got to be money in it for them somewhere along the line. So what does CEI actually stand for? Well, CEI stands for Corporate Equity Index. It's a rating system for how diverse and how inclusive a company is and how well it supports the alphabet or the woke agenda that's going on. And so that's what CEI actually is, Corporate Equity Index. And so when we think about Target's largest stockholders, are Vanguard, State Street, and BlackRock. They all of these corporations support the CEI. And when it comes to BlackRock, BlackRock holds more assets than any other corporation in the entire world. They hold over $8.5 trillion worth of assets. And so they have some bargaining power behind them. They have something that's going with them. And so that's why these corporations are surrendering to them and caring more about the CEI than they are customer satisfaction and opinions. And then the last thing we see here, that the CEI scoring system was set up by the Human Rights Campaign. The Human Rights Campaign, and they spent millions lobbying Congress. They want to get their agenda through legislation. And of course, they're funded by George Soros. So when you follow the money, and now unfortunately George Soros' son's taking over, and he says he's even more liberal and more crazy, I should say, than his dad was. So this is why they don't care if you boycott them. They don't really care if you boycott them. There's trillions of dollars backing them up. And so when it comes to boycotting, you know, you almost have to boycott the whole world. You know, we almost have to go live up in the mountain, grow everything on our own and do whatever. Just, you know, anywhere we go, we're supporting some of this some way. And so it's the best thing is that we just have to pray. We have to pray about all these things and do that. Because all of this stuff is happening, and it's happening more and more. But so what can we do? What as we as believers, what can we do with this culture of chaos? Well, the first thing that we can do is we can live a holy life. We need to live a holy life. Turn, if you would, for a second to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 10. Verse 10 of 1 Peter chapter 3 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for in the hastening of the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat." So what we should be is we should be living a life of conduct and godliness. Don't be just be yelling at the darkness. We have to be walking in the light. We have to walk in the light of His love. We must be willing to take the log out of our own eye before we try to take the speck out of someone else's. And so we must live that holy life. The next thing that we need to do is to have a healthy home. And that's a spiritually healthy home. Praying together. Praying with one another. Praying with your children, your grandchildren. Teaching your children the ways of the Lord. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Teach them the law or the word of God. "And shall talk to them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." That's the time we should be doing. We should be pouring into our families the word of God and be able to speaking of the word when we're rising up and when we lie down, when we walk by the byway. You need to know what your children are doing. You need to know what they're doing. You know, there's this saying, "Well, I don't want to be a helicopter parent. I don't want to just hover over them." Well, you need to be a fighter jet parent. You need to be honed in on everything that they're doing and what's taking place in their lives. Statistics say that middle school girls are the highest risk of suicide today. Middle school girls. So much time on the internet, so much screen time that they're really not taking in the things that they need to do. So be aware of what's going on with your children. Have a healthy spiritual home. The third thing we need to have is a strong stance. You need to have a strong stand. 2 Timothy 1:12 says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know who I am believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." We are persuaded that he will keep until that day. We don't have to cave into the culture. Like I said earlier, call them by their name. You don't have to use some different pronoun for them. Call them by name. See, and so we have to have a strong stance. You have to have your feet shod in the gospel of truth. You have to not compromise. Don't cave to the culture. And so there's six truths that we have here, six truths that we can encounter the lies of the enemy with. Six things that we can use to encounter him. The first truth is God's word is truth. God's word is truth, and it's the standard for all that is right and wrong. John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by truth, thy word is truth." And so sanctify means to set apart. You know, it's as a continual, habitual action. It's in the present tense. And so sanctify them by your truth, and your word is truth. And so the first thing is, God's word is truth. The next thing we see is, God designed us male and female. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." And we mentioned earlier about those being deceived. To think about that lady that was being brought as into the Supreme Court when asked to define a woman. She couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. That's how deceived people are these days. And we can go against those lies by standing on the Word of God and the truth that God created them in His image. He created them male and female. And the third thing we see is that God designed each person with beauty and a purpose for being fearfully and wonderfully made, like it says in Psalm 139:14. He created each of us with a beauty heart, and a beautiful attitude in life, and He created us for a purpose. He created us all for a purpose. And then the fourth thing we see here is that He designed all races with equal value. Acts 10:34-35 says, "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.'" One thing I have to say about this part is God only created one race. He only created the human race. You know, man has split this all up and everything, and so we all are not to have any partiality shown to any one of us in that way. And then the sixth thing that we see here, He designed all, He loves all. One more. He loves all and died for all in order to save all who calls upon His name. He died for everybody. He died to save everybody, all that would call upon His name. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So no matter how far into this cultural chaos someone is, no matter how deceived and things that they are, they can be saved. They can be brought out of that pit. They can be brought out of that lifestyle, and they can come to know Jesus. And then the fourth thing, we had the three others, the fourth thing after living a holy life and having a healthy spiritual home, having a strong stance, the fourth thing is have a tender heart. Have a tender heart and treat people with loving kindness, because that's the will of God for us. Jude 22 and 23 says, "And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." See, we need to show them that love, but then if they reject that, maybe it's time to show them the judgment of God, to pull them out of that fire before it would be too late. Pray for those. We need to pray for those who have gotten caught up in this madness of this cultural chaos. Lastly, I think the most important thing for us as believers during these times is to be sure to put on the full armor of God. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. So we can just kind of read this together, because I think this is something that we all need to remember. We have to be putting this on daily so that we're equipped, so that we are able to withstand the darts of the enemy and the attacks, and not to get caught up in all of the anger and all of the other things that we can get so easily get caught up in. But Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I want to stop there for a second. Remember, this is all a satanic agenda. That's who our enemy is. That's where this is coming from. That's where we have to fight against the spiritual forces. Because look at verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Those last few verses we can apply for ourselves, that we would pray that we may be able to speak boldly. We would be able to speak boldly in the mystery of the gospel, the good news that Jesus came, lived a sinless life here on this earth, and suffered and died for us on the cross. But praise God, was resurrected again, so that we might have resurrection life as well. So I hope this, you know, gave you some information and gave you some equipping for the world that we're living in. And I was really ministered to by the message by Pastor Gary, and I thought it was done well, so I wanted to pass it on. I don't usually do all the plagiarism, but I guess if I mention his name and said it was from him, it's okay. So anyway, let's pray.